Welcome, everybody, to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, here to welcome you to our weekly teaching edition as we study through the pages of the New Covenant Journey Study Guide. Today, we'll begin on Chapter 10, page 107, The New Covenant Life. As we get underway, a quick reminder that because this is a teaching edition of Basic Gospel, the phone lines are not open today. Now, to continue on the New Covenant Journey, here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. At Basic Gospel, we have a slogan that says, hear it, believe it, live it. And as we've worked our way through this New Covenant study guide on the New Covenant Journey, we've laid out what the gospel message is, what this new covenant is. So hopefully you've heard this story about Jesus. And through this study, you've been challenged to believe that Christ actually took away your sins, that Christ actually made you alive together with himself, raised you up to walk in the newness of life. And now in this final chapter, we're going to get to the live it section of hear it, believe it, and live it. So the gospel isn't just a set of doctrines to believe, to, you know, adhere to and that sort of thing. It really is the life of Christ that is to be lived out in and through us.
Yes.
The last several weeks, we've talked about the characteristics of that life, what marks that life out as distinct from life out there in the world, and it's the qualities of faith, hope, and love. That's what the Spirit of God has written in our hearts. Faith, this heart that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we no longer live in unbelief, we live in belief. That's what God's Spirit has written on our hearts. We are anchored by the hope that we have in Christ. And the expression of that is the very love of God that was poured out on us in Christ Jesus. So we've looked at those pieces, and now we're going to put all of those pieces together to show you how this life is lived out every single day. And Jesus, in his teachings, he always used common illustrations. And there is a famous illustration in John chapter 15, and we're going to spend a little bit of time on that today and really talk about what that illustration means to us in practical living out of the good news of Jesus Christ. It's John chapter 15, and the verse is chapter 5, but this whole passage really tells us what this life is to be, what it's to look like. And so in verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branch. So Jesus is establishing something there, that if you're looking out and you see, some grapevines, or you see a tree or whatever it might be, Jesus is saying, look at that. Now, when you see it, I'm the vine.
Yes.
I'm the source of life. You're just the branch. And the Greek word actually just says your branch. That's what it is. We're branch. That's who we are. And so if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. So for us to bear fruit, and that's what God desires for each and every one of us, that bearing of fruit comes from abiding in the vine. So as we abide in the vine, that source of life will flow up through the vine into the branch, and fruit is produced. We bear it. We don't produce it. Jesus is the one that produces it. We simply bear it. Mm-hmm. And we see in Galatians what that fruit looks like. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. It's the ninefold fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
So as we abide in the vine, that's the fruit that we're going to see coming out of us. Wow, that's an incredible relationship, isn't it?
Well, it is. And we're always so worried about showing those things. And here it is demonstrated that if we'll just keep our eyes on Jesus, if we'll abide in the vine, those things will come out of us naturally. We humans don't want to believe that. We think there's something bigger that we've got to do, but there's nothing bigger than abiding in the vine.
Absolutely nothing. So if you ask God, you know, God, what is the number one thing you want from me? What is it? Tell me, lay it out there. It's going to be this, abide in the vine. You mean that's it, Lord? That's all you have? Well, go out. Try it. Because everything in you is going to try to take the reins in your hands and try to produce the fruit yourself. you're going to go back to human effort, and it's going to take some time for you to figure out that, you know, when Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing, that that's really true.
Yes.
We're not so convinced of that starting out, but in time, we become more and more convinced. Jesus, you're exactly right. Apart from you, I can do nothing. There is no fruit that I can produce in and of myself. That has to come through dependence, through abiding in you.
Yes.
So that's the story of the Christian life. The Christian life, and we're going to get to this later on, but we'll say it right here up front. The Christian life is not hard. It's impossible.
Absolutely.
We cannot live it in our own strength. Jesus Christ is the only one who can live the Christian life. He is living in us. That's the beauty of the gospel. The genius of the gospel is that Jesus comes to live inside of us through his Holy Spirit. So we have that source of life living through us. We can allow that source of life to bubble up in us and experience the fruit of the Spirit in daily living. So what is the Christian life? It's a life of faith. It's a life of abiding. It's a life of dependence upon Jesus Christ. So we ask the question, just to really drive this point home, who is the source of the Christian life?
Jesus.
Jesus. And we better get that right. Mm-hmm. And if we don't have that right, man, the Christian life is not going to make sense. The pieces aren't going to come together.
No.
It's just going to be one struggle after another, one frustration after another, until you finally come to the point and say, I give up. And Jesus will say, whew, finally, now you're ready. Now you're ready for the real thing. So Jesus is the vine. We're the branch. As we abide in him, we're going to bear much fruit. Now, Jesus actually demonstrated this life for us. And we asked some questions, you know, what's the importance of the life that Jesus lived? You know, from the time that he was born until the time that he died. You know, most of our creeds just look at his birth, and then we just zoom all the way through his life, don't even mention that, yeah, and go right to the cross and to the burial and to the resurrection. So when I grew up in a church and we said the Apostles' Creed every week, we would talk about born of a virgin, and then we would go, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. Yeah. On the third day, he arose from the dead. But there was a purpose for that life. I mean, Jesus brought the gospel message to us. He talked about the kingdom and all of those sort of things, but he also modeled the Christian life for us. We see it in the Garden of Gethsemane,
yes,
probably in one of its clearest and most vivid pictures. So in Matthew 26:39, Matthew writes this, going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." So how did Jesus live his life according to this passage? Well, it was by the will of his Father.
Yes.
Oftentimes, we want God to look down on our will, what we really want out of life, and to give us the go-ahead. Mm-hmm. We want him to bless what we want. And that's how so many of us come to God. Here are my plans, God. Here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to see happen. And if you would be ever so kind to bless that, then I could go on my merry way.
I need your endorsement.
That's right. That's right. Could you read my plan and give a little endorsement and you know, let people know that this is what I'm supposed to be doing? But that's not how it works. God has called us to align ourselves with his will. And that comes through dependence. And that's what we see here in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is saying, boy, if there's any way to take this cup away from me, please make it happen. But not my will, but yours be done. So how did Jesus model this Christian life? Well, he said, I'm gonna live for the will of God. Not my will, but the will of my Father.
Yeah.
So I think we need to come to that point as well, that the will of God is better for me than anything I could dream up or imagine.
Absolutely.
Well, friends, you're listening to Basic Gospel's weekly teaching edition from our study guide entitled The New Covenant Journey. I'm Bob Davis, here with Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, and we thank you for joining us today. Now, within the next few weeks, we're going to be concluding this particular study series and moving into a new series. Watch our online study page for information on that new study and the materials that will be associated with it. That's at basicgospel.net/teaching. That's our main website, followed by a slash and the word teaching. Now, if you've just joined this study in progress and would like to start at the beginning, you can do that too, anytime, by visiting that same teaching page. There you'll find the archive beginning with Session 1, and as I said, you can access those at any time. Also, from that page, you can order your own copy of the study guide, The New Covenant Journey, and the free study notes that accompany each session. Again, it's all available at basicgospel.net/teaching. And with this quick reminder that the phone lines are not open today, again, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. So the Christian life is a life of abiding in the vine. The vine is Jesus Christ. He's the source of life. When he lived, he lived in exactly the same way. He abided in his Father. He knew that his Father was the source of life that was going to be lived out through him in his public ministry. And we're going to look at a couple of verses that really show that. Peter writes about that in his first letter. He says, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." Now, so many of us just hold Jesus out as an example, and yes, we try to imitate what he did. Mm-hmm. And that is very frustrating, because we can't do it. We can't do what Jesus did as far as his actions are concerned in our own human strength. We had those bracelets. What would Jesus do? We'd try to figure that out, and we'd try to go and do likewise. But that's not what Jesus was modeling for us. So here's what he was modeling. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. So how did Jesus live? He entrusted himself to his Father, the one who judges justly. Yes. So how are we to live? How are we to follow Jesus' example? In exactly the same way, we are to entrust ourselves to him as he entrusted himself to his Father. Now, there are a lot of statements in the Gospel of John that really lay this out clearly. And they're interesting statements, and they're sometimes puzzling. You scratch your head and say, what in the world is Jesus really talking about in these particular passages? So, Richard, tell us about how Jesus modeled this life for us.
Well, he modeled it in speech and in action, and here's how he described it. There's three short passages here. In John 8:28, he said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me." So Jesus never said a word that the Father hadn't taught him. That's the kind of dependence we can exhibit and expect the same kind of results. Another issue about speaking: "I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life, so whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." Notice that, how to say it. I mean, there were many, many things Jesus said, and we put our own spin on them. You know, well, Jesus was angry. He was just ripping their heads off. Well, I don't think so. The Father told him what to say and how to say it so that it would have the best impact of what the Father wanted to accomplish. Finally, John 5:19, Jesus gave them this answer: "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself." Kind of sounds like the opening verse in John 15. "He can do only what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." Jesus wasn't telling us to abide in the vine because he thought he was so special. He was telling us to abide in the vine because that's exactly what he did. He abided in the vine of his Father for action and for speech. Those two things are under control. Our life is under control.
Absolutely. So when we look at Christ's life, we see that it was a life of dependence upon his Father, a life of abiding in his Father, and that's what he wanted to model. Yes. So as he did that, as far as his father was concerned, we're to live in dependence upon him. We're to abide in him, to live in him, yes. to dwell in him. That's what that word abide really means. And when we do, we can expect to see the fruit of the Spirit yes. in full force in our lives. We can expect to really experience the love of God. We can expect to really experience joy. Not just to talk about, but have this deep sense of joy within our hearts. We can have peace. Oh, do we want peace?
Yes.
I mean, just about anyone who comes in for counseling, who is looking for answers, what's really driving them to reach out and to find and to get help is this desire for peace. You know, their hearts are just racing all the time. They feel like they're walking on eggshells. They're just on the edge of something big blowing up in their faces. And they don't know how to rest. They don't know how to turn those anxious thoughts off. They're looking for peace. Well, what is peace? It is one of the fruit of the Spirit. So it's a result of abiding in the vine of Christ, knowing that he has everything under control, knowing that he is bigger than any problem that we face, knowing that he is alive and can bring who he is to bear in any situation that we walk through. That's where peace comes from. That's the fruit of abiding. There's faithfulness, there's self-control. Boy, do we need self-control. Well, that's not something that we produce through human effort. That's not No. something that we can muster up. That's the fruit of God's Spirit living in and through us. We have all kinds of temptations out there in the world, and there's folks that just keep scratching their head and saying, my goodness, why do I have to keep giving in to these temptations that are out there in the world? Why can't I exercise some self-control? Well, you're trying to do it on your own. Mm-hmm. Abide in the vine. You will see self-control being lived out in and through you.
Yes. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about hope in terms of its guaranteed future. Well, this is also hope, its guaranteed future. If we abide in the vine, we will, not maybe, we
Right.
will bear that fruit.
Absolutely. It's not a, yeah, as you said, it's not a hope so.
we're gonna
check it out. It's like, you know, we invest in the stock market and we hope there's going to be a return.
Yeah.
We don't know. I mean, based on past performances, you know, there's a possibility, but we're not quite sure and we'll find out. But with this, it's a guarantee.
Absolutely.
Abide guarantee. In the vine, fruit is there. Period. End of story.
Yeah.
So we're to live in dependence upon Jesus in exactly the same way he lived in dependence upon his Father. Now, one of the things that he did was he abided in the love the Father had for him. In John 15:9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. So what would we know about the love of God the Father for Jesus Christ the Son? I would think that's infinite
yes.
in measure, that there's no way to really quantify that, that it is just overwhelming the amount of love God the Father had and has for Jesus Christ mm-hmm. the Son. Well, in exactly the same way, Jesus loves us. And we see no greater love is this than one lay down his life for his friends. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. So we know that that love has been demonstrated for us. So when we abide in Jesus, we're to abide in his love for us. And again, we see the fruit of love being born out of that relationship, that
yes.
dependent relationship upon Jesus Christ. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:14, Paul wrote this, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died." So as far as Paul was concerned, what compelled him to do the ministry that he did? What compelled him to leave Antioch and to go around the world three different times to reach new people for Christ, to tell people about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus? What compelled him to face the hardships that he did, the persecutions that he endured, the floggings that he suffered, so many different times. What caused Paul to do that? One word only.
Yeah, love.
Love. The love of God being lived out through him. What is God's desire for each and every one of us? To have that same love be the motivating driver in our lives, as far as our attitudes are concerned, as far as our actions toward others are concerned. Well, how can that happen? Only one way: dependence upon Jesus. As we depend upon Jesus, the love of God is going to fill up more and more of our thinking and our attitudes, and we're just going to start seeing it spill over in our actions toward others. That's just the way this Christian life was set up by God. That's how he designed it, and if we're going to be successful in it, that's how we need to live it. By faith in Jesus, expressing that faith in love for others. That is the Christian life. And we want to go into the next section. So it's titled The Christ Life in Action. And we want to talk about that verse in Galatians 5:6 to set up this particular section. So as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love, for Christ's love compels us. And we're going to take a look at what that exactly is. So in Galatians 5:6, and this is one of those verses that I think needs to be starred and memorized and underlined and
on the refrigerator.
And all of those sort of things. And it starts with this phrase, the only thing that counts. Well, that's a neon sign, isn't it? Those are neon arrows saying, pay attention, people. You can read everything else in the book of Galatians, but here is the key, right here. Pay attention to what follows this phrase. The only thing that counts is this: faith expressing itself through love. Let's say that again. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You mean Bible study and prayer and church attendance and giving and all of those sort of things? You mean those things don't count? That's not what Paul is saying there. He's saying what's truly important as far as God is concerned is our faith in Jesus being expressed to others in love. Mm-hmm. Now, Bible study can help us learn what it means to walk by faith in Jesus. Prayer can be an expression of that faith in Jesus as we rest in his provision and his abilities to work in and through us. Our giving can be an expression of love toward others. But those all need to come under this umbrella of faith expressing itself through love.
Yes.
The vine and the branch is the illustration of this particular verse. How do we walk by faith? We live in dependence upon Jesus Christ. We make ourselves available to him to live his life in and through us. That's what faith is made up of. It's a trust, it's a dependence, it's an availability. That's what faith is made up of. And as we carry out that, we're going to see that being expressed in love to others. That is what the Christian life looks like. That is the Christ life in action. Faith being expressed in love toward others. Now, in the Old Testament, it talks about the fact that we're to love God. Well, how do we do that? Faith is the way that we love God. When we depend upon him, we are expressing to him a love for him. And that love for him is then expressed in love toward others. That's the Christian life in action.
Absolutely. Friends, we're glad that you joined us today for the New Covenant Journey. Now, keep in mind that all information on this study is available online at basicgospel.net/teaching. Again, that's basicgospel.net/teaching. Also, keep in mind that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry. We need your ongoing support to keep the good news coming. You can make a donation anytime at basicgospel.net. Just click Donate on any page at that particular website or speak with our operator during Central Time office hours at 844-412-2742. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the Basic Gospel Ministry team, I'm Bob Davis. God bless you. Have a great weekend of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.